We're fortunate enough this morning, as we are every week, to be joined in studio by Michael Jones for another rendition of Movies with Michael. How's it going? Merry Christmas. Getting nothing. Fair enough.
When you're a jet, baby. Does that mean anything to you?
Totally lost.
Totally lost. Well, that reference will mean something to you in a minute. Today we're talking Boxing Day releases. Well, the four that I've seen anyway are definitely something for all tastes. Sci-fi, nostalgia, Euro art house, musical. Picking up anything yet?
Yeah,
franchise,
okay.
Reboot, even an original film, thank goodness. I'll start with, I guess this one could be a bit of a reboot. This is The Matrix Resurrections. Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss return as Neo and Trinity, joined by new cast members Yahya Abdul-Mateen as Morpheus, Jonathan Groff as Smith. Sorry, Hugo Weaving fans.
He couldn't
make it for this film. Jessica Henswick as Bugs and Neil Patrick Harris as the Analyst. There's no architect in this film either. This one's co-written and directed by Lana Wachowski. Thomas Anderson, played by Reeves, is freaking out because his boss, Smith, gross, wants him to remake the Matrix video game, an experience which apparently led to a mental breakdown about 20 years ago.
Okay.
Now, Thomas doesn't know what's real and what isn't. And who is that Tiffany woman he keeps recognising at the local coffee shop? Look, the first part of this film was totally meta and very, very funny. Then we get back into alternative realities, and because I'm not in my 20s anymore, I kind of stopped caring and following what was going on. I just kind of let it wash over me and went along for the ride, and it is pretty fun. It's also nice and a bit weird to see an age-appropriate romance in a sci-fi action film. Two people within 3 years of each other. Getting
That's
together.
Nice. It's realistic.
But it's realistic, but it's still kind of weird. So, because I haven't got a lot of time, there's still some life left in this franchise.
That's
all I'll say for
that. Very quickly, how's Keanu's performance?
Keanu's performance is very good. Like, he's not required to perform too much. He's never required to do too many facial expressions. Mm. You know, puts on the sunglasses, you don't see too much. And you see a lot of old, when I say old Keanu, you see young Keanu.
Bill and Ted Keanu.
Not Bill and Ted Keanu, but original 1998 Matrix Keanu in the background, because they have to remind him of who he was.
Of course.
Okay. I'll move on to a film called The Worst Person in the World. This is your alternative to some of the bigger blockbusters that I'm talking about today. This is a Norwegian film, also known as Verdens Verste Menneske. It's written and directed by Joachim Trier and stars Renate Reinsve, Anders Danielsson Lee and Hans Olav Brenner. It's a coming-of-age story about Julie, played by Reinsve, a woman in her late 20s, as she makes the difficult journey from adolescence to adulthood with plenty of self-inflicted missteps and ill-fated romance along the way. Look, there's a lot to like about this film. It starts out as a typically quirky scando comedy. You don't normally associate Scandinavia with comedy, but there are some pretty funny ones out there, with plenty of dry humour and lots of awkwardness, and evolves into something much deeper as Julie realises the consequences of her choices and develops a greater understanding of the motivations of both herself and the other people in her life. The ending might be a little bit of a downer for some, but The Worst Person in the World is definitely not the worst film you'll see this week.
Very good.
I'll move on.
Musicals. Love them.
West Side Story, Steven Spielberg's adaptation of the 1957 musical. And Stephen Sondheim, who died just a couple of weeks ago, who wrote a lot of the lyrics for this musical. There was also a 1961 film version of West Side Story. But this version stars Ansel Elgort and Rachel Ziegler as Tony and Maria, and Ariana DeBose and David Alvarez as Anita and Bernardo. And look out for Rita Moreno, who played Anita in the 1961 version as Valentina in this one.
I love when they do that stuff, when they give like a bit of a nod back to, it's cool.
Yeah, it's great. And even at 90, Rita Moreno can still belt out a tune and is very, very impressive. Yes.
Nice.
If you know the story of Romeo and Juliet, I guess you know West Side Story. If you're expecting a more Hollywood soft, centered ending because it's Steven Spielberg, I suggest you better bring some tissues because he's fairly faithful to the original story. The song and dance sequences are as spectacular as you would expect, but they're on a much larger scale than the 1961 film. And, of course, the songs are instantly recognisable. I don't know if you've seen West Side Story before.
I tried to watch it. I was at university. I did an introduction to film course, and I went through this stage. I was 19 or whatever it was, probably trying to make a edgier version of myself, moved to Sydney from up the coast and stuff. So I got right into classic films and I tried to watch the classics and I watched it on a plane and it was not what I expected. I didn't know it was a musical. I thought it was like a classic kind of gangster cafe because of the cafe races and stuff that they're riding around on. I was surprised. We'll put it that way.
Right. But the songs in the film, you'd be surprised how ingrained in your mind they are.
Kind of just in the zeitgeist and kind of thing and it pops.
Yeah, and you go, oh, I recognise that song. I guess they've been used a lot in ads anyway.
Sure.
Just a bit of a warning, the violence in this one is a lot less stylized than in the 1961 version or maybe the stage version that you might have seen.
It's a gritty musical.
There is a bit of brutality, and there's one scene in particular that will make viewers probably squirm a bit. But of course, many of the issues explored in the 1961 film are just as relevant today as they were back then. I'm not usually a fan of musicals, but I couldn't help loving this one, and it should appeal to both sharks and jets.
Fantastic.
Finally, licorice pizza.
I've heard about this. I'm excited to hear what you think.
And I was very excited to watch it. This one stars Alana Haim and Cooper Hoffman, son of...
So I'm guessing the other Hoffman. I've had a blank. What is it? Dustin?
No, not Dustin. Philip Seymour.
Is that right?
Son of Philip Seymour. Philip Seymour Hoffman was a regular collaborator with Paul Thomas Anderson, who wrote and directed this film. People who also turn up in this film include Tom Waits and Sean Penn and Bradley Cooper in some pretty cracking cameos.
Cool.
Now, this is a story about Gary Valentine, played by Hoffman. He's an aging child actor, which means he's about 15, and he's also a bit of a hustler living in the San Fernando Valley in 1973. At school photo day, he spots photographer's assistant Alana, played by Haim, and he's instantly smitten. Of course, she's an older woman, so he'll need all his charms to woo her. And this film does have a hell of a lot of charm. For me, this is like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, minus the graphic violence, or perhaps Boogie Nights, minus Dirk Diggler's dick. I guess you could describe this as a Paul Thomas Anderson film that you could actually take your mum to.
Cool.
Though your mum's probably about the same age as me and probably did see Boogie Nights back in the late 90s.
I've watched some pretty crook movies with my mum in the past. I don't know why. We've got a good relationship, so I think that's why.
This story is very much a love letter to a simpler time as teenagers when we still believe that anything is possible, but we're also becoming just aware that not everything and everyone is as they seem. There's also Paul Thomas Anderson. Just like Tarantino, he has great taste in retro music and can put together a cracking soundtrack. Hoffman and Haim, they have a terrific chemistry together, which will keep you watching even when the film does slightly meander through some very weird vignettes in the second hour. But hey, it is a Paul Thomas Anderson film. You'd expect nothing less. Look, Licorice Pizza, Hollywood loves these nostalgic navel-gazing films, so it should feature prominently during awards season.
Sure.
It's Licorice Pizza. It's an incredibly odd flavour combination, but the flavours combine so well to form the most joyful and tasty film.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Michael. So that was a quartet there, the four films. Remind us again.
They would be The Matrix Resurrections.
Great.
The Worst Person in the World.
West Side Story.
West Side Story. And Licorice Pizza.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Michael.
Pleasure.